we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
It's been a great day in the house of the Lord already, hasn't it? Amen. I believe it's going to get better. I believe God's got great things for you. Welcome to Redemption Church. If you don't know me, my name's Chris Fluitt. Welcome to all the people watching us online. We love you guys. We love it when you reach out to us and leave us comments on YouTube. Even if they're not nice comments, we like to talk to you, all right? Nonetheless, all right. I hope everyone had an amazing Thanksgiving, all right? I know that was over a week ago. It feels like it was 2 days ago, right? The days are just going like crazy, all right? I think we're in 2018 already. Things are going so quickly. We had a wonderful time. Me and my family were out of town last Sunday, but we absolutely missed being with you. We were at Fredericksburg, and we got to preach to a great church down there in Fredericksburg, but the whole time I was driving my wife crazy. I was like, oh my goodness, it's 3 o'clock. They've started church. And I'm like, I hope they're doing, oh, I wish we were there. If there any way we could get home. We love you guys. We hated not being here. We're glad to be here today. Would you agree that Christmas season is in full swing? Yeah. You better. I saw a Christmas tree, I think in September. Right? It's getting crazy. It's just getting ridiculous. In department stores, late September, I saw a tree, a Christmas tree. They were like, and not just one, like all of them. It's like they just cleared out everything. I want to talk to you today about this season we're in. There is something that we need to receive in this season. And it is so much more important than the toys we're trying to buy, than the eBay auction we're trying to win, than the Black Friday giveaway. It is so much more important than those things. The world needs more than these things. As awesome as Christmas parties are with their ugly holiday sweaters, God has more for you than that. All right. And I hope you will agree with this statement. The world needs hope. When you look around this world where we are at each other's throats on social media is a mean place. You bet it is. People are at each other's throats on social media. You think we need some hope? You see violence in our streets, or worse, you see violence in the mall. Good Lord, it's been crazy. Look up just Black Friday violence. It's crazy. More people than ever take medicine for depression. You think we need some hope there? Although we live in the richest nation on earth, many are hungry and go without. Many people are going to miss the point of this entire season, and instead they will go into credit card debt to pay for gifts that most people don't really need. Sometimes they don't even want. And we go into credit card debt. There's so much peace being in debt, isn't there? No, it's absolutely a terrible decision. But people are feverishly, there is somebody in this town right now that's like, oh, praise Jesus. I opened up the mailbox and there it was, a brand new credit card. That's the Lord favoring. No, it is not. That's the devil. Look at somebody say, that's the devil. Don't do it, my friends. Don't do it. This world needs hope. That's what this world needs. Author Hal Lindsey said this, man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about eight minutes without air, but only for 1 second without hope. If you don't have hope, you just aren't living. You're not making it without hope. So let's make this a season. Let's make it a time when we remember when hope showed up. Look at somebody and say, hope showed up. Hope showed up. Hope was born of a virgin. Hope was born in a manger. Hope was worshipped by shepherds and magi. Hope was incarnate. Amen. Incarnate. What does that mean? That everybody needs to know about the hope that comes in the incarnation. It's when God, who is a spirit, put on a bod. God put on a body. He wrapped himself in flesh. We read about that in John chapter 1 today. In the beginning was the Word, verse 14, and the Word became flesh. That's the incarnation. And you're not going to find a bigger hope than Jesus, God in the flesh. Not going to do it. The Creator became the created and dwelt with us in love. Hope has a name. That name is Jesus. Hope showed up. We can sing carols and miss it. We can buy gifts and decorate our houses, put up little nativities, but miss it. Jesus is hope showing up. And let me tell you, he didn't just show up about 2,000 years ago. He is still showing up. Jesus, our hope, wants to show up today. If you're watching, right where you're watching, he wants to show up for you today. Hope was inside of Mary. We know about Mary, right? Mary's the mother of Jesus. Literally, just get this, that the hope of all creation is inside of Mary. No pressure, right? Mary was a young girl who was engaged to a man named Joseph. Good job. Like most young girls awaiting their wedding day, Mary no doubt had dreams about the ceremony. And she had dreams about the life that would follow the ceremony, right? She probably had designs formulated. Ladies, I don't know how you do it. Guys, we're not good at this, but women have designed formulations on what their house is going to look like. Let me just give you a good word. You ready for a good word, single man? Here it is. All right. Whatever you own before you get married, you will not own it after you get married. That's a good word. Amen. It's a good word. I have some cool stuff that just went on out of my house, right? Because it didn't fit the formulated plan of my wife. Mary was sitting there with these dreams, these thoughts, and she was like, life is going to look like this, and I'm going to run my house like this, and we're going to have this many children, and I'm going to name this child that, and this child this, and now this is how I'm going to dress them. These are all the thoughts and the ideas and the dreams that were flowing in her. She probably thought of special ways to leave her mark on the world. Her life was filled with hope of the life that was to come. Yes. It's great to be filled with hope for the future. Yeah. Absolutely. But what happens when your formulated picture is no longer possible? What do you do when the picture that you had in your head dies right there and it's gone and it's changed forever? You see, all of Mary's hopeful dreams changed when an angel sent from God came to Mary. All of them changed, right? Every one of us is like, man, I wish an angel would come to me. And you sure? Let's read about it. Luke chapter 1, we're going to read verse 27 all the way through 38. All right. So, verse 27, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. Everybody said, highly favored. Highly favored. The Lord is with you. Say it. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. What a promise. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Angel says, glad you asked. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Reading on, even Elizabeth, everyone said Elizabeth. Your relative is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. So there are two women mentioned in this story. What are those women's names? Mary and Elizabeth. All right, Mary and Elizabeth. We will talk about Elizabeth in a moment. For right now, let's focus on Mary. The angel said that she's honored, favored, chosen. All right, these sound like good things, right? Mary was blessed. She was hand-selected, blessed. But let's get real. Mary was also burdened. Would you agree? Absolutely. She had never been with a man, but now she was going to be pregnant outside of her marriage. How would you explain this to Joseph? How do you go about explaining that to Joseph? Think about that burden. This is a blessing, but think about that moment where you have to say, hey, Joseph, we need to talk. Where do you go with that? She had to have that moment. How would she explain that to Joseph? How about this? What would her family think? For some of you, you really relate to that. Because there is nothing more fearful in your heart than disappointing your mom or your dad. Think about this moment. Come on, Mary, tell us the truth. You said about this angel, but what really happened? Who really is the father? She had to handle that conversation with her parents. Would anyone ever believe that she was visited by an angel? I want to remind you that this happening was during a 400-year period where God was silent and wasn't speaking to Israel. And suddenly this woman winds up pregnant and says, the Lord spoke to me through an angel. It's not that easy to believe. Because they're all like, huh, whatever, God's not talking to a prophet. He's not talking to the priest. What makes you think? How am I supposed to believe that he's talking to you, Mary? Let's get real. All right. The Bible says Mary was blessed, but often a blessing can be a burden. Say it. A blessing can be a burden. When Mary felt people give her looks and talk about her behind her back, she might not have felt blessed. Doing the right thing would cost Mary what she dreamed of always. Remember those formulated dreams in her. Doing the right thing here is going to cost her all of those things. She might not have felt highly favored. True blessings don't always look like blessings. God's blessings don't always fit our formulated designs and dreams. Would you agree? Mary had these hopeful dreams and designs, yet it appeared this blessing was going to mess it all up. Do you give God permission to just mess up all your plans with his blessing? Maybe you ought to think about that a little bit. When your hopeful dream is altered, or even yet it completely dies, you won't feel blessed. You won't feel hopeful. You won't feel favored. We say we want the blessing of God, but can we bear the burden of his blessing? Because every time God blesses you, there is a burden with his blessing. He doesn't just give you the blessed Holy Spirit. He gives you the blessed Holy Spirit, and then he expects you to do things in the world. There is a responsibility that comes with the blessed money in your back pocket. Because God gave you that, but he also expects you to be generous with it. And if you see someone hungry, if you see someone need, that you would reach up. That's a burden on you. His blessing always comes with the burden. That's just kind of how it works. We don't necessarily think about it that way, but it always works that way. What if his blessings change your plan today? Could it be that we can't bear the blessing that God would like to give us? Maybe you're praying, God, I want this blessing right here. And you are at a place going, I don't know why God doesn't give that to me. I don't know why he doesn't give that to me. Maybe you aren't ready to bear the burden of that blessing. But you can pray for God to bring you into that calling and that ministry, but there is a burden in that calling or ministry. Are you ready to walk into that burden? Remember, Jesus is sitting at the Last Supper with his disciples, and they're arguing who can sit on his right hand. And he says, what does he say? He says, can you drink from this cup that I'm about to drink of? Can you go through what I'm about to go through? You want this blessing? Can you handle the burden that I'm about to go through? Mary, this young girl full of hope, she had this storybook fairy tale wedding in her head. Now, she's just hoping to survive the blessings of God. Yeah. I hope I make it through this. That's my goal for the day, right? Even though her world was being affected by the most unexpected pregnancy, the most powerful anointed act on the face of the planet, the incarnation, yeah, there were more reasons for her to worry than to hope. Sure, she saw the angels. Sure, she had this promise. Sure, she was pregnant and she knew she wasn't with a man. But good Lord, those people are mad at me. Those people are mad at me. Those people don't trust me. I don't know what I'm going to do. How are we going to do this? But God called her blessed.
Yes.
When God calls you blessed, don't freak out. When God calls you blessed, maybe you should listen to him more than you should look around you. All right? When God calls you blessed, don't look to the changing world around you. Look to God.
Yes. Amen.
The angel said this. What did he say? The Lord is with you.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. You can look at all the mean people that are with you. You could get letters from the IRS and they're with you. You could get all these problems and they're with you, right? Hey, don't forget this, the Lord, Mary, the Lord is with you. I don't know what you are facing, but will you receive this blessed message? The Lord is with you.
Amen.
The Lord is with you, and you have hope. Mary, you ought to have hope, because this child would be the hope of everyone, everywhere.
Amen.
This child, do you get that this child was the hope of Adam and Eve? Do you understand that this hope, this child was the hope of Abraham and Isaac?
Yeah.
Do you understand that this child is your hope and my hope? She doesn't even know us. Uh-huh. Could she have imagined that the people in the future are talking about the hope that's in her? But not only that, this child was actually the hope of Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
None of us have hope without Jesus Christ. The Christ child carried hope. Real hope in the face of hopeless circumstance. And Mary carried the Christ child. Can I tell you, it's real hope. We're not just talking about good feels. We're not just talking about a nice Hallmark card that you read and you wipe that little tear from your eye. I've never done that, but they do in the commercials. No. We're talking about a hope that changes everything, that transforms everything. And even when it feels your life is falling apart, you are able to stand and hope. This is a real hope. This is a real hope that she carried. People might sin against Mary, thinking her to have been unfaithful. Yet, there's hope. This child would save his people from their sins, and she carried within her the faithful one. It doesn't matter the faithfulness of the people around her. She carried the faithful one inside of her. People would say and do things to Mary that would cause her to hurt. Hurt, is that an easy thing to get past in life? I better get a better no than that. Is hurt an easy thing to get past in life? No way, no way it is not. Words wound. In fact, Joseph, the love of her life, the person that she would marry, said and did things that communicated he thought she was a liar. Yet, there's hope. This child would bring healing for every hurt. He would open up blind eyes. Crippled people would rise and walk. The dead, the very dead, would come out of their graves when he just calls their name. There's no wound that Jesus can't mend. Hundreds of years before this moment of Mary And the angel, the prophet Isaiah, prophesied to Mary. He said in Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Where is this hope, Mary? Where is this hope? It's within you.
All right. Amen.
People might put Mary to death. Did you know this part? She and her baby faced the threat of dying at the hands of angry people. Under Old Testament law, Joseph could have had her stoned for being pregnant outside of their marriage. She said yes to that marriage ceremony, and then she came up pregnant. That could be punishable by death. She faced death and destruction. Yet there's hope. Hope shows up. The child would defeat the curse of death. This child would defeat the curse of hell.
That's right.
This child would defeat the curse of the grave.
Amen.
Although Mary was surrounded by a great burden, you know what was inside of her? She was filled with hope. She literally carried hope inside of her. I'm talking about a hope that is both natural and supernatural. I'm not talking about a hope that's just swirly, spirity stuff and you can't really touch it. No, I'm talking about hope that will sit down at the kitchen table and be as real to you as the chair you're sitting on. I'm talking about a hope that can change the world. I'm not talking about a cheap hope that is only present when things are going right. Well, you know, I've had a pretty good week this week. I'm pretty hopeful. That's not hope. When you're surrounded by friends. Oh, I'm surrounded by friends. Now I'm hopeful. No. How about this? When I have money in the bank and I have a job, that's when I'm hopeful. No, I'm talking to you about a real hope that works in the most adverse of situations.
Yeah, right.
God's hope works even when your plans don't work. Mary was filled with a hope that was stronger than the hopeless circumstance around her. This hope inside Mary was strong enough to change the outside world. I'm going to give you an example of it. Elizabeth also carried a baby. Elizabeth is her cousin. Mary had a cousin who was also pregnant. Her name was Elizabeth. And was she young or old? She was old, and she was considered barren. She was never supposed to have a child ever. The baby's name was to be a world changer named John. The baby would be a world changer named John who would prepare the way of the Lord. You know that verse, right? You know him as John the
Baptist.
Very good. Elizabeth had been barren and was unable to give her family a child. Her husband was a priest, and it looked like his lineage would stop right there. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, especially in the culture of a Jew, that his lineage would end right there. He would be the last priest in his line. It was a hopeless situation until an angel showed up in their life with news of a miracle. They were now both old in age, and suddenly Elizabeth became pregnant. Is this a blessed thing?
Yes.
Is this a highly favored moment? Is this a reason to hope?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Elizabeth would have her child. Her husband would have that lineage. She carried now within her a dream. All her life she dreamed of having a child. Now here it was.
Right.
All her life she imagined what was she going to name her child. And now here it was. She would have her child and the priest would have his heir. She thought this dream would never happen. But now, just like the Mary had told the angel, God can do all things.
Yes.
And that she is so aware of this at this moment. But, there's a but. You see, every blessing is also a burden. And every blessing's not just candy and popcorn and no, it's a burden. And Elizabeth has a problem in her pregnancy. A well-noted first century historian named Josephus. Everyone said Josephus? All right, I'm about to tell you something that's actually outside of the Bible. This is a historian, a Jewish historian named Josephus, and he is going to give us some insight to the Word of God here. Check this out. He wrote that Elizabeth had not ever felt the baby move. Now, she was 6 months pregnant, and she had not felt the baby move. Her belly had swollen. There were all kinds of other signs of the pregnancy, but not the most important one, that she actually felt the life move inside of her. These are not the days of the ultrasound where you can go to the doctor and see the baby and count its toes and see the heartbeat. These are not those days. In the ancient world, the only way to know if the baby was alive was to feel the baby move. And it was the 6th month of her pregnancy, and Elizabeth had not felt the baby move. This was such a hopeful situation. This was such a blessed moment. Maybe the angel was wrong. All these kind of thoughts go through her head. But this was a devastating moment. What did this mean? It meant that she carried within her a dead child. It meant that the hope in her was stillborn. It meant that the heir to her family would never breathe. She would never get to hear him cry. She'd never get to see him grow up. And awful, in the most cruel way, she would actually have to give birth to a dead baby body. That is heavy stuff. What do you do when the dream you're carrying seems to die? Carrying this dream in her, but now there's no signs of life. What do you do when that's the case? You and I have felt that before, right? Maybe we haven't felt the situation with a child, but you've had dreams in your life and you've not felt them move in a while. You have felt like you've had some callings and some purpose in your life, but you haven't seen it come to fruition, and it seems like it's practically dead. Maybe you haven't felt the dream move inside of you in a while. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. Look at this. This is back in Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 41. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. And she entered Zechariah's home and she greeted Elizabeth. Verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What just happened here? This baby was dead, but Mary comes into the room. I want you to get this. Elizabeth carried a dead baby within her, but Mary carried a baby who is the resurrection and the life. Mary carried a baby inside of her, would walk up to a tomb and call out Lazarus's name, come forth, and the guy would come out of the tomb. That's the hope that Mary is carrying inside of her. When the hope that Mary carried within her came into contact with the hopelessness of Elizabeth, something happened. Oh, man, the baby leaped.
That's good. Thank you, Jesus.
That thing we were so worried about that would never turn around, we felt it. That purpose that God had for my life, I think it's possible again. And what else? She had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. See, isn't this amazing what Josephus shows us this? This is what Luke was trying to show us, and he gives us the context. So now we see that this was a miracle that was happening right there. Suddenly, the hopeless Elizabeth preaches a threefold blessing. You want to hear about a threefold blessing from Elizabeth? Here it is. Mary, you are blessed. That's what Luke 1:42 says. In a loud voice. You know what? When the Lord blesses you, it's okay to get loud. When the Lord blesses you, you don't have to follow proper etiquette. You don't have to hold out your pinky. Oh, the Lord has been so good to us. Fancy a spot of tea. No, you don't have to do any of that. No, she said in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Now, had anyone else told Mary that besides the angel? No. But right there, they have not, this is her hello. She walks in, feels the baby leap, and she utters this prophetic thing. She says, blessed are you, blessed is the child within you. Mary, you are blessed. That's the first blessing. Say, Mary, you are blessed. Number two, I am blessed. Luke 1:43. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She understands at this moment that she is so favored and blessed that her Lord, her Jehovah God, the one who created it all, the one who is faithful and true, had walked in the door and visited her. Mary, you're blessed, and I am blessed, and that's not all. Verse 44, reading on. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Here it is, verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Blessed is she who believes. Can I tell you, Mary, you're blessed, and I'm blessed, but guess what? Anyone who believes what the Lord has said to Mary will be blessed. Is there anybody in the house that believes what the Lord said to Mary? The Lord said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save all of his people from their sins. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? The Bible, Isaiah heard it this way. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and you shall call his name. If you know it, quote it. You shall call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That is the hope that walked into the room. Mary, you're blessed, and I am blessed. And everyone who believes is blessed. You believe this message? I'm telling you, this is not just like a little mental exercise you go through. No, when you believe this message, you are blessed with a hope that won't ever die. Anyone who comes in contact with this hope inside of Mary is going to be blessed. And here's the proof of it. John the Baptist simply being born when he should have been dead. But a very amazing Savior inside the womb of Mary walks in. I would tell you this is Jesus' first miracle. Hope was inside Mary. Mary and Elizabeth were both experiencing a loss of hope, weren't they? Mary was losing hope around her. Joseph, my parents, everybody, the situation. And Elizabeth, she was losing hope within her. But Jesus brought them all a real transforming hope. Hope was in Mary. The story could end here and be worthy of celebration every December. Absolutely. But this is not where the story ends, because Elizabeth's son grows up to be John the Baptist. He declares Mary's son, Jesus, is the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. He declares that Jesus is going to baptize us with what? With the Holy Spirit and the fire. That's what he says. Wait, the Holy Spirit, that's who his mother encountered when Mary walked in the room. That caused him to leap into life. This very same Jesus that caused them to experience the Holy Spirit, he is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever received the Holy Spirit? God wants to give you his Holy Spirit. He wants to baptize you just like he was baptized in water. You see, I'm the guy that baptized Joseph in the water, but Jesus is the guy that will baptize Joseph with the Holy Spirit. Do you want that? Come in contact with the giver of all hope, Jesus Christ. You can encounter the same Spirit and have Jesus leap inside of you also. Colossians 1:27, get a load of this verse. Christ in you. Everyone say that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is hope. Mary had Christ in her. She had hope. But you too can carry Christ in you. You are to carry hope in you. There is a hope that we need this season. And it is Christ in us. That is the hope of glory. The incarnation is God taking residence inside a human body. Y'all remember that? Y'all are so awesome to remember that. Good job. That's what the incarnation is. But guess what? God wants to incarnate inside of you today. Do you get this? He wants to take residence inside of you. He wants His Spirit to be inside of you. He wants Christ to be in you. That's a totally different incarnation that God wants to do. That means that just as Jesus is God going over here and healing this person, that as Jesus is God going over here and feeding this person, you too can be used by God walking over here and have the very Spirit of God bringing peace, have the very Spirit of God working a miracle, have the very Spirit of God ushering you to heal people and bless people. Man, that's the kind of hope that ought to live in the church, and it changes the whole world. That's the hope of glory. This is the hope that we need this season. Just like the hope inside Mary caused life to leap inside of Elizabeth, you too can have the hope inside of you that will cause someone else to leap to life. I want you to get this picture. You're having trouble at your work and your job. Like, right, y'all have ever experienced that? There's somebody with a bad attitude at your work, right? All right. There's someone with a bad attitude in your house, right? Don't look at your wife or your husband right now. Quick, quick. This is dangerous. Don't do it. We're past that moment. That's good, right? Could have gotten in trouble there, Jay Dykes. That would have been terrible. All right. But you walk into that situation. What if the hope inside of you caused somebody to go, whoa, felt something? What if you walked up to somebody who had no dreams anymore? They had no future. They had no hope within them. But you walked up to them and suddenly the Jesus in you just resurrected something inside of them. And they said, I don't know what I'm feeling. But it felt like something that was dead inside of me just came to life. Do you realize that that's your calling? That's your calling, every one of you. That's your calling. That's your call. You don't need an angel to come down and say, that's your calling. No, that is your calling. That's what the Holy Spirit is about. Jesus said, you shall have power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses. That is the power we're talking about. That is the hope that we're talking about. I want you to get a picture of this. You're like, oh God, I'm about to walk into this room and I need you to do a miracle because I can't do anything with that. You're thinking about God doing something externally. God, get that person fired or make that person shut up or something. Make them get sick and go home. No, God wants the hope that's inside of you to flow and to transform just like it flowed out of Mary and transformed Elizabeth. It transformed John the Baptist. Don't you get that's what's happening? When Peter is walking by the gate, beautiful, in Acts chapter 3, he sees the lame man right there and he reaches down and lifts him up and he's lifted to newness of life. He's lifted to a miracle. How did that happen? The hope, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ inside of Peter leaped out, got a hold of this guy, and then what did he do? He just stood around and said, well, that was a really good experience. He went leaping and jumping and he ran into the temple and nobody knew about it. Everybody knew about it. Say, everybody knew about it. That's how we say it in Waco. It's not how we say it in Waco. That is the Spirit of God. That's how God wants to operate inside of you.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.